The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, broken, ate a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City studios at the Pharrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where I haven't seen Granny in a week, but that's probably because she stopped by and picked up a satchel of legend OG Flower One in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, your to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but I'm finna come around, flood the party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a town, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be shake it, ooh. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Pharrell, along with Mafia, the number's 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Phoenix up 53-45, Bucks with the Rock. And Holiday misses the three, and Crowder gets the rip and the run. A minute, 5 and rolling left in the first half in the Valley. They were down 9 at one point, something like that, in the first half, the Suns. But then they've come back here to lead by 8. And there's all kinds of bodies flying in the paint now. I think they're calling that on Paul, on Giannis. Giannis is still down. So we'll keep our eyes on this game. We can break it all down for you, obviously. Bottom line is, in terms of scoring, I talked about it today on Coast to Coast, was the conversation got rolling about Crowder, right? I was like, this guy's going to have a better game than 1 point and an over donut game. And he's gone out. He's hit 3 of 4 from downtown. He's got 9 points, 8 boards, 2 dimes. I mean, he's already exceeded expectations tonight compared to what he did in game one. Bridges, though, the big game so far, 13 points. Booker's got 10, 4 and 5. Ayton's done nothing in this game so far, 2 and 4. So Giannis has taken him out of the game as far as Giannis, he's got 12 and 8 boards. Nobody else really doing anything. You got Tucker with 7 and Holiday 7, 4, and 3. Lopez really hasn't done anything. He's got 4. Middleton hasn't done anything. He's 2 of 9 from the floor and only 4 points. So they were down. The Suns found their way. Now they're getting back into it. And your boy Booker started to perform. And they're just getting easy buckets. Ayton there with the and one and the foul underneath on the baseline. Power move to the rack and the foul. 14 seconds left. They're up 10 now. What do you think of the game so far, Moff?
I think it was a much better start for the Bucks, but obviously the Suns are starting to turn this around. They're starting to play great team ball, as we've seen throughout the playoffs, but even in the first game we saw everybody chipping in, CP3 leading the way. But, I mean, they just seem to be the deeper team. We talked about that with the Bucks against Atlanta, that they were the deeper team, they were the better team, and that's why they won that series, when both teams lost their stars. It just seems like the depth of the Suns are showing up way more than the Bucks so far in this series. I mean, Middleton's barely doing anything. Holiday's barely doing anything. Even the big stars, not even the depth players, are struggling against the Suns team.
I want to see what this call is. They're blowing a whistle now on the inbounds. Did they turn it over? I got to see what this call is. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, SportsMap, Sports Byline, Armed Force Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench. So, they're about ready to go to the half. The Bucks will get one last crack at it here. Second quarter, they outscored them 30-16. So a huge second quarter for Phoenix. And let's see if they can get this last shot up. Middleton from downtown, brick off the back of the rim. No foul, no call. It ends 56-45 Suns. But, I mean, the Bucks played well at the beginning of the game. And I think they can do it again. I don't think that it's, done by any stretch. I think they have every chance to get back in this game, to be honest with you. It's not like, I feel like you look at the first quarter, it was 29-26. Then the huge second quarter, 30-16 for the Suns, and that's the difference. And then you get, like I said, you get Crowder going and Bridges going. Nobody thought that was going to happen because the Bucks were worried about Middleton or the Bucks were worried about Booker and CP3, and that's who they worry about, and Ayton. And I think they took Ayton out of the game for the most part, except for that baseline move right there to the rack and the and one, and he made the free throw, so the three-point play. Other than that, he did nothing. And now all of a sudden, they got these two other guys in Crowder and Bridges that are performing at a nice level. So I think that's kind of, it looks like the difference for me is seeing them get guys that did nothing in game one, all of a sudden are doing something. Bridges with the 13, 9 for Crowder. And the bottom line is the Bucks have out-rebounded them in this game. And the difference for the Suns, they've out-timed them. They got more points. They got 15 dimes to 9. For the Bucks, they had it all going, and then they let it slip through their fingers. Now they got to dig out of this hole in the third and get back in this game. It's Pharrell on a bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't take a hoof to the head.
No!
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on a bench. So I was at the Meadowlands today in East Rutherford, right outside Manhattan. I got to tell you, Mafia, I put a picture up, I think, at one point or another, of that flood. So, I mean, it was Noah's Ark. Okay, so I left home to go. I have to tell this story. It was so crazy. So I'm at home. It's like, I don't know, 2 o'clock, 1:30. I don't know. Did you get the hail? Did you get all that hail, golf ball-sized hail?
I didn't get hail because it was too hot. I got there was a lot of big rain. It was sheets of rain coming down when I was going in. I must have just missed that flood you hit because I go, a similar way for the most part. And I was there probably 30, 40 minutes before you called me and said that you were stuck there and had no problem. And then that's how quick things, flood out in that area. That the rain picked up right before I hit the Meadowlands and it really came downpouring. And in that 10, 15 minutes till you got there, it just filled up, I guess.
Well, so what happened was I'm in my house, and all of a sudden there's golf ball-sized hail coming down. I mean, gigantic golf ball-sized hail chunks of ice. And my entire crib was covered in snow. I mean, it was like white ice, but it looked like snow, right? So the whole place was covered in it. I mean, it was like an inch deep. It looked like, you know, an inch of snow or something, like a coating, right? So, I mean, my house just getting pelted, my everything, just there was water gushing, flooding everywhere, and the trees, there were leaves coming down like it was October, right? It was like a tornado. It was literally like a tornado. And I've lived through a tornado, as you know, in Georgia. I lived through one, the Dallas Pike Turnpike tornado in 93. I was there when that hit and, destroyed my house. I woke up in a mud field and I moved 2 weeks later to San Francisco. That was the end of, that for me. I was like, I'm homeless. I'm out of here. Anyway, so literally it was that scary today. And then I got in the car to go to the Meadowlands. I'm like, that was the dumbest thing I ever did because I have a studio here, right? I have a studio at the Ferrella Palatial. I'm sitting in it right now. And I get in the car to go to the Meadowlands for whatever reason in a typhoon. It was like a hurricane for sure. It was Elsa. And it was like a monsoon. I've never seen anything like it. It was so bad. Like, I couldn't even see. I literally could not see driving. I could not see anything. Nothing. Zero. So there's no point in describing it any other way. So I went on three different highways. One highway to get to another highway to get to another highway. All three were bumper to bumper, jam-packed, no one moving. I left at 2:30 to be on at 4. And I made it there at 5 after 4. I called you up screaming, yelling, cussing, stressing out. I called my boss screaming, yelling, cussing out, freaking out. And then when I got to where you know exactly where the flood was, I got to the top of the 17. And I'm on the ramp right there coming off the 80. And it was bumper to bumper on the 80 to the ramp. And then the ramp was glue. There was no one moving. So there was no getting off the 80. So I sat on that ramp. I finally got on the ramp. And when I got halfway through the ramp, it stopped dead. And literally, I sat there for 30 minutes. And I never moved. Then I got on the 17. And I was literally parked. I had the car in park. I was not moving at all, and I put it in park. Finally, they stopped people from going through the flood. So the cops showed up, and they were at the bottom of that hill where the flood was, and they shut down the road. No one could go through. So that was why I wasn't moving. It wasn't because it was one lane or any, because it was one at a time through the flood. They shut it down. So that was when I called you and said, I'm not making it to work. Then they finally opened it up and let one car go through at a time, like Noah's Ark. And I mean to tell you, it was up to the side of my car door, the water. And I took a picture of it, put it on Twitter. That picture does not even tell the story of how deep it was. That was like, I mean, when I was coming down the hill and looking at cars going through it, there was water up to the car windows. Like, you got to be half stupid to drive through that with your car, because it'll stall the car, right? The car will die out. And in my opinion, you go through that, your car will die out, and that'll be that. The electric circuits, boom, you're done. So I'm sitting there going, am I going to go through this? I had no choice. I was trapped. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't go back. Going forward, you're going right into it. So I did it. I went through it, and I literally went less than 1 mile an hour through this flood, and I was scared to death. I was like, oh, my God, my car's not going to make it through this. It's not like I have some, like, I'm not driving like a Range Rover, big-ass truck, or I didn't have my truck because I have a truck the size of Texas, and this truck will go through anything. But I was just driving a normal coupe. And I was scared to death it was going to die out in that flood. So I eventually told my boss, I go, listen, dude, I'm not making it for the start of that show. I'll be dead. I'll die. I got through the flood, and then I drove, and it was so bad I couldn't see from that flood where you know where I was to the Meadowlands. I couldn't see one inch of road until literally I was parked at the Meadowlands. So when I just knew where I was. So when I literally went through puddles. I mean, it was flooded so bad on the 17. Like, I went through like five more hydroplane floods. There was just massive flooding. It was flooding. And it wasn't just puddles. It was deep flooding water. And it was going nowhere. And it was just accumulating and deep. And I was like, what is happening? This is the end of the earth. And then I got to the Meadowlands. I parked, I got in, I ran in, I put on a suit and a sport coat, and I went on the set for 4:12 for the second segment, and then I did the whole show. But I got to tell you, Mafia, that was scary. That was a scary blizzard today, or whatever you want to call it, the typhoon. It was like a cyclone. I mean, it ripped through here. And you know what's crazy? It's still raining. It's raining right now here, pouring. It's going to pour till like noon tomorrow is what I heard. This hurricane that they said was so pathetic, they said it was like a one. Are you kidding me, dude? We got leveled today by that thing. I mean, leveled. I mean, state of emergency. You saw it. They shut down everything. All the roads were flooded out. All the highways. I live 15, 20 minutes door to door to the Meadowlands, and it took me an hour to go home. It took me well over 90 minutes to get to work. I mean, it was awful. What did you think?
Yeah, it was insane. I live, 15, 20 minutes as well from a different spot, but, same kind of time, different roads, and it was ridiculous. I mean, we had probably before, I'd say like an hour before I left, we had that one huge spurt of just complete downpour. And it already flooded that road so badly that, an hour later when I got on the road and I took the one little loop around to get onto the one highway, and there's an underpass right there, and it kind of, comes down and goes back up. So you get that little area where the floodwaters come in there. It's terrible drainage. I had a dump truck next to me, dumped so much water on my car. This is about 20 seconds. I could not see anything out of my windshield. I literally just held my wheel straight and said, hope I don't hit anything, because I didn't know where I was going. And then it cleared off, and I was fine, got on the road, all that. And then there was a little bit of flooding on the one main highway that I take, and avoided that a little bit, but I didn't get anything on that other highway that you eventually hit and got caught on. But I mean, there's just from, like 10 minutes of just complete downpour, some of these roads just flood out. And then when you get 20, 30 minutes of it, it's just a complete standstill with all, Lake Louise, as you like to say, between you and the next light.
God, it was just unbelievable. It sucked so bad. Like, I even said to the dude, I'm like, listen, bro, I said, the next time there's a typhoon or a blizzard, I'm just doing it from home. Because now I could have lost power here. Obviously, I have a generator, but that takes 5-10 minutes to get going. And then, at some point I could have lost power and had to go through that process. But allegedly, I can still do the show from here. I'm having a dude put in more of a sub panel on the crib to be certain that I have, more power and access to this kind of stuff moving forward. But that storm sucked. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So, Mavi, I put that picture up on Pharrell on Grid on Twitter of the beautiful drive to the Meadowlands. If you notice the so that's the end of the flood. You understand? When I'm in my car right there, if you go back to where I am in the car, it's like up to the side of the door. And then at the end is those two cars in front of me. That's the end of the flood. You can see that right there, those two guys in front of me are the last of the flood. So I'm like in the middle of the flood, and then I go another 20 feet and I'm out of it. I'm on my way to the Meadowlands. But the flood, if you notice, if you look in the middle between the cars in front of me and my car, you can see literally, you can see effing waves. I mean, bro, there's like a rip. There's a curl right there. I could have brought out my surfboard. There were waves in this flood. It was so big. Like, the water was so deep that there was actually a wave. Look, you could see it. You could see the wave. It's right there. And I mean, I was like, this is the end of the world. You notice, I got to tell you, it's like we don't just have rain or snow ever. Have you ever noticed that? We don't just have rain, like where they say, it's going to rain today. They don't do that anymore around here. You know what we get? I mean, we get lightning storms, hail, driving wind, trees snapping, power lines down, cars getting crushed by trees. We don't just have rain. We have typhoons. We don't have snow. We have blizzards. We don't have, like, you know, we're going to get 3 inches today. We get 23 inches. We don't have anything. And then they say, like, did you see tonight? I guess today they had an earthquake in Cali, like a 6. I guess they had a really bad earthquake today. I don't know any details. I just know they had a 6. You start getting up in the 6s and 7s, bro. Those are big. You know, bottom line is 6 is pretty decent. 7's no joke. They had a 6 today in California. And I don't know any details. You could tell me. I don't know. But we don't have normal anything anymore. There's no just like, you notice like the heat wave. They're like, it's going to be really hot. No. It's a buck 15. It was a buck 15 in Portland. It's a buck 15 in Phoenix. It's a buck 16 in Vegas for like, you know, 10, 15 days in a row. They're telling people don't go outside. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy to me. All right, it's a 10-point game in the third, 65-55 Suns. So your boy Giannis has 19-8, and they're down 10. Are you surprised, Mav, that it's like, what is that call? He just went down the lane, no one touched him, and they called a foul. What is that call? I'm sitting here watching that. It looked like, I got to see where the foul is because he literally looked to me like he went down the lane and no one touched him. But, of course, they don't show it because they don't want to show up the crappy refs. But it looked to me like he went right down Main Street. No one touched him, and they gave him the call. And he shanked the layup, too, rolled it off the rim. But it seems like the same kind of game to me as, frankly, game one. I mean, they were up 15. Now they're up 10. And – you know, this has the capability of, frankly, going either way. It could go, you know, Bucks get back in it and make it a game and win it, or they're going to get whacked because just a minute ago it was 15, and now they got it to 9. So it's boding a little bit better for the Bucks, but I still think the Suns have the potential here to, if they get hot shooting the ball – and now it's 8 after Giannis makes both free throws. I still didn't see the call. I still didn't see a foul. I don't know what I just saw. All I saw was him go down the lane untouched and miss a layup. But the Bucks are on a 7-0 run now in a minute and a half. So that's what got him back in the game. And now you got Bridges missing a 3. So this is their chance to get back in this game right now or lose the game. You know what I mean? It's now or never for the Bucks to mess around. Take advantage of this run they're on and get back in a game, or let the Suns go in transition like they did right here with CP3 getting a bucket. That looked like an and one to me. He got fouled, no call. Maybe they're not calling the fouls tonight because the other night they gave him 26 free throws. It was embarrassing how many free throws they gave him. But it's pretty obvious to me what Giannis is doing now. He's going straight to the bucket and he's getting everything in the paint and he's scoring at will. So Giannis has taken over this game for the Bucks. He's become the enforcer. He's going to the 10. He's getting buckets. And then CP3 at the other end with a 3-ball. So there you go. They're up 11 again. So
getting
the crowd rowdy. What's that?
He has to do all that because no one else is doing a damn thing. Tucker's having a decent game, but you're not relying on him for offense. Middleton, 2 of 10, shooting 20%. You know, Holiday, 4 of 16, shooting 25%. Brook Lopez shooting 33% at 2 of 6. I mean, it's just embarrassing what these guys are doing outside of Giannis. He's trying to carry this whole team right now because his teammates aren't doing anything to help him. And this is, you know, even when you have Booker and CP3 is actually scoring. You know, he's got 6 of 9. He's not lighting it up going crazy, but he's doing good things. Booker, not looking good, 6 of 16, but he has 3 threes at least to get his point total up. But he's not shooting great 8. He's not shooting great. And still, they're, you know, doing whatever they want because the other guys are stepping up. You're not having that with the Bucks. How do you have your biggest stars? Middleton, how many times have we seen him, you know, have a couple times in big games, huge games, we're like, oh, my God, this guy's incredible. And then he just disappears.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But here he is chucking threes and bricking. And then Lopez with the huge offensive tip back. That was enormous. It's down to 7, but they're getting – they're getting rebounds and they're getting on the boards, they're getting on the glass. So, you know, 1 minute it's 11, the next minute it's 7. So,
by the way, you're running the fouls too, Scott. They have one free throw for the Phoenix Suns, 12 for Milwaukee.
Well, it's because they called it so crappy the other night. I mean, honestly, Giannis has 25 now in this game. And it's 17 for Bridges, 15 for Booker, 13 for CP3. So there you go. Anyway, I just want the game to be good. I really do, because I'm sick of these blowouts. I mean, the other night it was basically a 20-point game until the backdoor garbage. But the bottom line is they didn't cover. They got back to within 7 and then still lost by 13. You know what I mean? So I don't want to watch blowouts. I just want to watch good games, to be honest with you. I don't have any bones in this. I mean, I took the Suns, but I think I told you on the show today on Coast to Coast, I think the Bucks can get back in the series, and not just tonight. I said even if they lose tonight, I think they get back in the series in Brewtown. I think when they go to Fiserv and they play in Milwaukee at their home, I think they're going to be right back in the series. I mean, like, you know, bacon and eggs. They're going to go home and win, and that'll be that. And, I mean, I know how good the Suns are. They don't really, you know, if they lose a game, they come right back and win the next one. So they have been the best team in the NBA playoffs by far, if you ask me. Just, you know, reacting to losses with a win. You know, they don't lose two in a row. They don't go out and have any bad stretches. They lose, they wipe it off, get on it, and go back and go right to the rack. So, and, you know, it's obvious to see how hard they are to stop when you have scoring like that and you have options like that and you have guys that can put it in the hole. You know what I mean? Like, you know, seeing, as I said earlier, seeing guys step up tonight, like Bridges, Crowder hitting some threes, and then you get your normal attack from Paul, Booker, and, you know, Ayton. Ayton's done nothing in this game, but to have, you know, Booker and Paul are having solid games. It's not like, I mean, I don't think Booker's shooting great again. He's missed 10 shots, but Paul's 6 of 9. I mean, that's solid. He's only missed 3 shots in the game. What he needs to do now, in my opinion, is take over the game. I mean, if you're going to go 6 of 9, then start chucking, start shooting. He pulled up and hit that 3. That was huge. That was his first 3 of the game. But he's got 13, 4, and 4. He needs to kick it up to, you know, 20 to 25 points again. He's not, I don't see a 32 spot tonight from him the way he's playing right now, but he needs to come down and just take over the game. It's, you know, if Booker's going to miss that many shots, then Paul's got to take the game over. And I am stunned that Ayton is doing nothing. And I think you got to credit Milwaukee's defense with that tonight for sure, because they're really only, you know, I guess Connaughton gave him 6 and 3 boards. Forbes has given him 3, Portis 2. So their bench has basically been worthless. And it's all been about Giannis. And I guess Holiday's 10 spot, he had 10 the other night. But this is a Giannis game. That's all there is to it. So nobody else is doing enough for me on the Bucks to get me excited. So that's crazy. Anyway, you know, when we come back, we're going to talk to Andy Baskin in Cleveland. I want to talk to him about a couple things. What's happened to the Indians? And then I want to ask him about the Browns. A lot of people think the Browns have a shot to win the Super Bowl this year. I saw a thing with Sports Illustrated tonight. There's like, you know, they picked 12 teams that could win it all, and the Browns were one of them. And then I want to ask him about the future with the Cavs and Kevin Love. Of course, Love is playing on Team USA in Tokyo. There's going to be no fans in Tokyo at the Olympics, just the athletes and the competitions. That's it. I want to watch basketball in the Olympics. That's what I want to watch. So I'll talk to him about what he thinks Love's going to do on that team if he'll stick with the Cavs.
Listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get Tomey. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
One thing I noticed about this game is the pace of it, right? It's picking up the pace. I think, you know, the Suns are moving a lot faster in transition off of Bucks misses than the Bucks are bringing it up court. You know what I mean? And now Booker hits a gigantic three from the deep corner with a guy right in his face. And it's a 10-point game again with 4 minutes left in the third. Andy Baskin is our good friend from The Fan in Cleveland. He's awesome and has a huge show in Cleveland. And we thought we'd bring him on tonight to talk about several things. Andy, how you holding up, buddy? Hope everything's going good. Hope you're having a good summer, dude.
Right back at you. The Indians finally win a game tonight. Man, they had 2 3-run homers to pull it off. Franmil Reyes hit a gigantic shot just now. It was awesome. But they got to play Kansas City to snap a 9-game losing streak, so.
Well, I mean, at least they won. I mean, what has happened to them?
It's all injuries. I mean, can you imagine any team ever in the history of baseball that started a team with 5 starters and have none of them? Well, we just got one back tonight, Plesac. But they haven't. I mean, they had all 5 guys hurt, all 5 guys in the rotation. Plus, we knew they weren't going to be able to hit in the beginning of the season, and they still really haven't been able to. I got no hit for the third time, if you want to count yesterday's game. 7 innings and no hitter. So it's been a little bit of both, but they've still been able to kind of tread water, and at least they stopped this losing streak now. So if they can pick up a couple wins against the Royals, things might get better after the All-Star break as far as health is concerned.
So was that the last, the game that they won last was on June 28th?
It sounds right.
I didn't think about it that way,
but yeah, I think you're right. That's scary.
It was a game against the Tigers, and then the next game was postponed. It was a makeup date. Then June 30th, and so then on the 30th they played the doubleheader and they lost both games to the Tigers. And then they went into July, and they lost 4 straight to the Astros, and then they lost to the Rays in the opener on Monday, the 5th, this Monday. 9-8 on the holiday, basically. And then the next day was washed. So they played a doubleheader on Wednesday, and they lost 8-1 and 4-0. And that was the no-hit game. And then they finally win tonight. What has Tito said about how bad they've been?
I think, you know, he's been around the game so long, I think you got to give him credit for even just being – they're a game over 500. And, you know, you look at it, they were, 9 games over 500 before the streak started. So I think he's just trying to keep the pieces together to be able to get some of the – like Reyes, who hit the game winner tonight, he was out for a while because he was hurt. And you're trying to mix all these guys in from AAA Columbus to just try to put a healthy team out on the field. And it's been a struggle. Tito gets it. He understands it. And every time you turn around, somebody gets – I mean, they're averaging like somebody getting put on the 10-day about every 2 or 3 days. So they just got to weather the storm. And then they could be halfway decent in the second half of the season. If the White Sox can stumble and fall a little bit, they'll have a shot. But they need to get healthy. They still need to get healthy. I mean, you got a guy pitching tonight that got hurt by taking his shirt off. Hurt his hand, taking his shirt off. Come on, you got to be kidding me.
Now listen.
It's ridiculous.
In the ninth inning, Santana homered to right center for the Royals to tie the game. And you had to be thinking they're going to lose again when they blow it in the ninth, but then you get the Reyes homer, a 3-run shot to win it 7-4. When you saw him give up the run, did you think they were going to blow it again?
Well, it just sucks because you're watching a guy that played for the Indians before hit 2 tonight. I mean, it wasn't just one of those little Santana blasts. He had 2 home runs in this game, and it kept Kansas City going. And that's the hardest part. Like, Indians fans are sitting around watching and going, oh, well, what former Indian's going to hurt us tonight? That's what sucks too. So, but just to watch him tonight, and I was like Santana. So, and it's just hard to watch him and watch him do that. But I don't know. I love Reyes, man. Franmil Reyes is probably my favorite player on this team. And he just came back from injury, and he's been ready to roll. He had a 5 RBI game the other day too.
Yeah, that's great that he's gotten big there and turning into something, no doubt about it. Do you think that at the end of the day, when you look at where they are in terms of 7.5 deep of the White Sox, do you think they have a shot in the second half to do anything against the White Sox, or are they just going to run away with it? Because it's starting to seem like the White Sox are going to run away with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, if they don't, I hate to say a four-game series before the All-Star break's a big series, but it's a big series for them, because if the White Sox start to win and put this up competitively, the Indians are done. I mean, I was ready to raise a white flag when they were, you know, they had so many opportunities over this nine-game losing streak to kind of pick up some ground on the White Sox, and they didn't do it. And every day you look at it and you're like, every day it's the same thing. And they can't take advantage of the opportunities. I don't know. It's just crazy. You watch this team, and they should be better than they are. But you also have to say to yourself, well, Lindor's gone. They've got the lowest payroll in baseball. What is this team doing? And I a lot of it's smoke and mirrors in the beginning of the season. I mean, they're extremely competitive, and they've got the payroll is nothing. I mean, they're paying these guys peanuts.
Do you think Andy Baskin with us from the Fan of Cleveland, that Lindor is he was better in Cleveland. What do you think of what he's done so far, which is basically nothing with the Mets?
Feels good, I think, for a little while. I just think it's temporary, though. You know, the Indians have had so many great players come through here and end up go play somewhere else because they can't pay them. You know, how many Cy Young Award winners have the Indians said see you later to? And that's part of the problem. I think that Indians fans have kind of turned the page. I think we all knew Lindor wasn't going to be able to, they weren't going to be able to afford him. And then there's also stories about, you know, John Sherman was a minority owner who now owns the Royals. And there were plenty of stories after Sherman got the ownership deal with Kansas City that Sherman was in line to be the next owner of the Indians behind the Dolans, who are looking to, you know, maybe get rid of the team and not be the owners anymore, because it's been tough, and last year was tough with COVID. It was tough for everybody. It was tough for them, too. I think we're just kind of waiting in wait-and-see mold as far as Indians ownership is concerned, because I got to believe they're going to bring on another minority owner, and I've got to believe probably in the next 3 to 5 years the Indians are probably looking at a different owner.
All right, so let me ask you about Baker Mayfield and the Browns. You got OBJ back. This team, I said earlier on the show that I saw a story today that, you know, Sports Illustrated, I still get Sports Illustrated, right? I've got it since I was a kid, and it's certainly different than it used to be. I'll give you that. But they came out with their 12 teams that they think can win the Super Bowl, and the Browns are one of them. And we all know what the Browns did last year. They had a hell of a run. They kicked the Steelers' ass. I thought they gave Kansas City all they could handle. And it is what it is. Do you think they're going to be as advertised, and are they not going to give Baker Mayfield that deal this year because they don't have to?
I'm going to throw it around the other way. First, before you even get to that, I still get sporting news so I can look at the box scores every day like we did when we were kids. So don't worry about the SI thing. I'm just kidding.
All right.
All right, so the deal, though, if I'm Baker Mayfield, I don't know if I want the deal. You know, Spotrac had a great article today about it, and I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. If Baker Mayfield goes out there and plays his you-know-what off, man, he's going to make a lot more cash if he can hold out. I know the injury situation, and, you know, we all know how fragile guys can be in the league. But I don't know if I'm in a gigantic hurry if I'm Baker and I want to sign. Now, if they come up and they offer him big money, then I don't know how he can walk away from it. But I don't know that I'm in a gigantic hurry. He's got a great offensive line. He's got two outstanding running backs that are behind him in Chubb and Hunt. I mean, this team is built for him to be successful. I don't know why he wouldn't succeed on what he was able to do. Kevin Stefanski and him are on the same page. If you get a chance, there's a YouTube video. It's Jarvis Landry's got this thing. It's called Just Jarvis. And when the offense didn't come to Cleveland for OTAs, they all went to Baker Mayfield's place in Texas. And they went to his high school, and they all worked out down there. And there's some pretty good stuff in that. You know, it's a little bit of a hype video, but I started watching that the other day. It's like about a half hour of Jarvis Landry just hanging out with these guys. And one of the biggest takeaways I got from it, and I can understand why somebody might think it's propaganda because you're just trying to show these guys in a good light and it's all about Jarvis. But the big hang-up with the offense has always been, can Baker and Odell get on the same page? I'm watching these guys practice on their own time in Texas. They're going out on a boat together. They're hanging out. Like, I don't believe that the friction that was there that might have been there in the beginning if Odell and Baker actually had it. I'm not buying it now after watching that video. I think Odell looks really good. He looks healthy. He looks strong. And I think Odell's going to have a pretty good season. I that was my big hang-up with the Browns right now. It's like, they look so much better when Odell wasn't a part of the offense. And now, I have a much better feeling about these two guys being together. Maybe it's fool's gold, but I'm not buying all the hype about those guys not being on the same page anymore.
Oh, listen, dude, he was playing great. He was going off Odell Beckham before he got injured. He legitimately blew out his knee, but he was playing great football for them. He was lighting it up. He was unstoppable. He was making all kinds of plays, scoring touchdowns. He had it all going, and then it all evaporated when he got hurt. So I don't blame him for anything. The guy straight up got hurt. It is what it is. He's a great player, and with him on the field, they are 10 times better than without him. All right, let me ask you about I got about 2.5 minutes. Kevin Love,
sure,
who's on the Olympic team, and I got to – you have to tell me. Like, I don't even know how he's on that team, to be honest with you. But is he done with the Cavs? Because I've heard that they want to get rid of him. What's the truth behind Kevin Love? A, should he be on the Olympic team? And B, is he going to be on the Cavs?
Okay, I'll give you the reason why he should be on it. I agree with you. I don't think he's probably one of the top players in the NBA right now. I know he's not. But he does play that international game. I want to see Greg Popovich and how much he uses him, because I want to see him put his money where his mouth is. What he said the other day about,
right,
you know, using Kevin Love. And as a Cavs fan, I really want him to use Kevin Love a lot for two reasons. One, if he can play next year, and with the Cavs having the number three pick, and there's all kinds of talk about the Cavs wanting to try to move up to number one with Detroit and make a trade. That was a big story today here.
Right.
But if Kevin has a good Olympic run here, that's good for all of us, because one, his stock might go up and teams in the NBA might look at him a little bit different than they are right now. He looks broken. I mean, the guy played 25 games last year. I think he'd be really happy if he was in Portland. And I think he's ready to leave. You know, he did his time here. No fan's going to be mad at him. We wish we would have got a lot more out of him. He brings Kate Bock around. She is absolutely gorgeous. The guy has got the best life ever, if you ask me. But going back to it, I just think he's got to perform. And if he performs well, it means the Cavs might be able to trade him. It might also mean, if they want to keep him, that he's good for another season here. I think the only thing he's going to be good for the Cavs right now is an expiring contract, not this season, but the next season. So that's what the problem is with Kevin Love. We're all hoping that he has a good Olympics. At least I am.
Do you think they're going to give Jared Allen a big deal? Froman's a badass. Why would they not give him a deal?
The only reason why I think they will, and they made the move, and we saw everything that happened with Drummond. I just wonder if it would work with Evan Mobley. Like, if the Cavs end up getting Evan Mobley, that's the only scenario I can see where they might be like, I don't know if we want, maybe we're going to change course. So that's the only reason why. But you're right. I think that they've got him pinned as one of those cornerstone players for the future.
All right. I like Froman. I think he's got mad game. And I think Evan Mobley's a huge 7-footer, but he's a toothpick. And he's a project, if you ask me. We'll see. Andy, I love you. Great stuff tonight. It's good having you back on the bench. I'll catch up with you again real soon. We'll get you on Coast to Coast.
Anytime. You know it. You know it, brother. Take care.
All right, Andy Baskin from The Fan in Cleveland. It's 86-78 Suns right now. Minute left in the third. They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, so Torrey Craig's down on the floor. 10-point game, 1 second left. They're in a whistle, and they're going to go to the fourth with a 10-point lead at least. And I got to tell you, I got to give credit where it's due. I think that Giannis has played his ass off tonight, and there's no denying it. He has just done everything. And not only that, my God, he's got 32 and 12 with three dimes. He has gotten to the line 18 times himself. They've shot 20 free throws in the game, and the Suns have shot five. So I guess the Budenholzer crying about the free throw disparity, you think he'll be happy now that it's 20-5? I mean, that's everything. The other one was a 10-point difference. This is a 15 free throw difference. It was 10 the entire game one. It was 26-16. This is 20-5. And you can't deny that that's a massive problem. But I have to tell you, for the most part, what I've seen is that they have mugged him every time he's down in the block because Giannis is going to the 10 every time he gets the ball. And that's how you win games. And that's how you take over games. And that's how you dominate games. And he's doing that. And every time he goes in, you can't even deny he's getting hammered. I mean, they're yanking his head off, his shoulders, the ball, the arms. Every time he comes down, he's getting fouled. You can't even argue it. Now, they just called a charge on him, on the Craig. Craig's injured. They're carrying him off the floor. So we'll go to the fourth. It's a 10-point game. It could be good.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.